Welcome to New Generation Church with our special guest, Dr. Stan DeKoven.
Just those words. Really try to ask a question and try and answer it to the best of our ability. What was finished? What has actually been accomplished through what Christ has done? There's a couple other scriptures that kind of go along with that. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you." In Acts chapter 2, 23, it says, "This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." In Acts chapter 4, verse 27-28 says, "For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur." You know, from the very beginning, the plan of God was to see Christ come and be crucified on our behalf. This plan was discussed, of course, before anything ever began. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, together, they talked about the reality that they knew that mankind would ultimately fail, that sin would enter into the world because of disobedience of one man and one woman in a garden. And so he made provision for that even before mankind was even created. He recognized that people from the beginning would seek their own way, to do their own thing, to find their own gods, rather than to obey the one and true God who is Jesus Christ. And so he decided, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, decided, they decided, we're going to make provision because there's no way that mankind's ever going to figure it out. Amen. So we're going to make a way where there is no way, and that's what God has done. Of course, we know the plan was brilliant. The strategy was unique. Yet the outcome depended upon absolute obedience, the obedience of Christ, the obedience of Jesus, the Son of the living God. The weight of such responsibility no doubt motivated Jesus every day of his life. It motivated him in every moment of his ministry because he recognized that everything that he said and everything that he did would lead toward the culmination of the plans and the purposes of the Father, Son, and Spirit. So from the beginning of Jesus' ministry until the very end, his focus was always on one thing. The Bible says that Jesus set his face like flint on the cross. There was nothing more important to Jesus than getting to that cross. Not that he wanted to die, not that he wanted to suffer, not that he wanted the pain of all that, but he recognized that in doing what he was about to do, he would fulfill all righteousness. He would fulfill what was necessary to open the door so that mankind could have relationship with a holy and perfect God. From the beginning, his focus was on preaching on the kingdom of God. And in many ways, if you will, Jesus is heaven come to earth. Jesus is, of course, presently reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's not something for the future. That's present. He's presently our King. He's presently our Lord by his grace. So when he came, I mean, part of the plan was to preach and to teach and to have signs and wonders and miracles, and all of those things are true. But he didn't do that because he wanted popularity or fame. He could care less about that. It was all about fulfilling the mission. He came to fulfill the mission, the same mission that he's invited all of us to be a part of. So his signs and wonders and miracles and prophetic preaching all were about fulfilling the plan fulfilling the purpose. And that's why I think when he cried out from the cross, it's finished. Those words were not that of exasperation or of despair, not at all. It was more of a declaration, we have won. We have completed the task. We've fulfilled the purpose. And all of heaven, and all of earth is ultimately changed and transformed because of what Jesus had done. The battle, the dark night of the soul, all that Jesus went through, his crucifixion, it was worth every bit of it. So his declaration on the cross was not one of resignation or the relief from pain, which most of us would have been experiencing. No, but the plan was complete. It's finished. All that Satan has tried to do, all that sin within the world system has tried to do, cannot conquer the work of Christ. His shed blood has finished it. And we, as God's people, are to live in the finished work of Christ. It's not a future work we hope he finishes. He didn't say it's going to be finished. He didn't say it might get finished someday. Or that when I come back my second time, it'll finally be finished. No, that's not what he said. I think what he said is what he meant. He said it's finished. But again, what was finished? Well, not everything. I mean, you weren't there yet. You weren't even a twinkle in your mommy's and daddy's eye. You hadn't yet been included, but yet you were included. From the very beginning, from the foundation of the world, you were created to be conformed to the image of Christ. You were created for the very purpose of being a part of God's family. Well, so what did Jesus finish? Well, so many things. But I want to focus on just two or three this morning. And I'm not going to keep you long because I'm not a long-winded preacher. Because I was told a long time ago, blessed are the short, for they shall be invited back. You didn't know that, did you? But it's absolutely true. I mean, you know, if you keep going, if you're long-winded, I mean, then people get tired, they fall asleep. I don't want you to fall asleep on me. You've already had at least 6 to 8 hours tonight. You don't need any more sleep. So I'll try not to keep you asleep here. So it is finished. What did he finish? Well, in many ways, it was he won it all. And he fulfilled the purpose for which Jesus had come. In John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. One of the things that was finished by the total work of Christ on the cross, through the shedding of his blood, through the taking of the stripes, all that he experienced, he did all of that for us. It says in Isaiah, it pleased the Father even to crush him. It's hard to imagine. But because of what was being done, it was pleasing because it was necessary. But it opened the door so that you and I could become children of God. You know, in John chapter 3, you know, Jesus having this conversation with Nicodemus, a theologian of the day, and he's saying, hey, you know you got to be born again if you're going to see the kingdom. He didn't say, by the way, you enter the kingdom yet. You only see it when you're born again. Entering the kingdom is more of not just being children of God, as many as receive him. He gives you the right to become children of God, but his goal is not to keep you as children of God, but to make you sons of God. You know, one of the problems with the prodigal, he didn't mind being a servant of the Father. He thought that would be great. I'll just go back and I'll serve the Father. What he was saying at the same time is, I don't want to be a son of the Father. I don't want the responsibility to be a son, because a son works right alongside the Father. The son takes responsibility. The son steps into areas that are necessary to see the fulfillment of the family business. Jesus hasn't just called us to be born again so that we can go to heaven. Can I say that again? Matter of fact, going to heaven is just a byproduct of the reality that you've come to know Christ. Your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven. That's a good thing. But that's not why he saved you. He didn't save you to take you to heaven. If that was his plan, he would have killed you the moment you said, I do. Keep you from sinning, you know what I'm saying? Because every person on the planet that comes to know Jesus still has a propensity to sin. But God has forgiven us. He's cleansed us. Hallelujah. But he didn't forgive us and cleanse us so that we'd go to heaven. Heaven's a byproduct. He created us in Christ so that we would step into and live as sons and daughters of God in his kingdom. He's called us to rule and reign with him. So the purpose for which Jesus was saying, it is finished, is now my father will have sons and daughters who will be conformed to my image, who will become just like me, because I am the expressed mirror image of God the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. And if you know the Father, that's all you need to know. Jesus came to fulfill that purpose so that when he said, it is finished, the door was busted wide open. As it says in 1 John 3:8, the very work of the devil was destroyed. And he began the process of calling by the Spirit many sons, many daughters, to be conformed to the image of Christ to fulfill the purpose and destiny for why we are here. The purpose of Christ was also not just to fulfill the work, but to reveal the Father. One of the problems, even though in the Old Testament, I've recently been doing a lot of study in Isaiah, you know, Isaiah did speak about the Father, knowing the Father, the purpose of the Father. The children of Israel, the Jews at the time, they knew who the Father was. They knew that everything was about the Father, but they didn't know the Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father. The Father's not distant, not absent. He didn't just have children and hit the road. Oh, no. He's an actively involved Father. He actually loves his children. He wants to have relationship with us. Unlike many earthly fathers, that's not the way God is. He cares about us. He intimately cares about us. So Jesus wanted to reveal who the Father really is. Jesus said about himself and about the Father that he's the way, the truth, and the life. There's a path that God has for us. There's a path that God has called all of us to be a part of. And it's to live a life right before God and right before one another, to live a life filled with the love of God, so that the rest of the world will see and know that we have a good, good Father. Amen. Jesus came to reveal the Father. The Father, he shows the way. He is the truth. He is the life, even as Jesus is. Jesus, it says in John chapter 1, was full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Every aspect of him is full of grace and truth. Well, we know if Jesus is full of grace and truth, then we know the Father's full of grace and truth. Holy Spirit's full of grace and truth. His church should be full of grace and truth, not just grace and grace or greasy grace, but true grace. And grace is more than just unmerited favor. It means the empowerment to fulfill the very purpose of God. When it says Jesus was full of grace, it was grace that allowed him to go to the cross. It was grace that got him through the experience of the cross. It was God's empowerment. And God has empowered us. That's why the Spirit of God lives in each one of us that believes in Jesus. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives where? Dwells in us. For what purpose? So that we also might fulfill the purpose of God for our lives. Full of grace. Yes, full of grace. Empowered, favored to fulfill God's purpose. But also we're full of truth. And it's truth or consequences in life, is it not? Jesus had to make a choice. Should I obey the Father? Or should I save my own skin? Should I fulfill all righteousness by going to the cross and suffering, immeasurable suffering, for the sake of others? Or should I do my own thing? I'll guarantee you, most of us would have chosen the latter. Man, there's nothing like pain to drive you nuts. Long-term pain, short-term pain, give me a pill, thank you, Jesus. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to take every bit of the pain, every bit of the shame, every bit of the sorrow, every bit of the guilt, every bit of bitterness and resentment, every lost and broken relationship, I'm taking it all upon myself, because in doing so, I'm doing the will of the one who sent me. Jesus lived a life of truth. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. That is reality. Amen. And it doesn't matter, oh, but God, no, he just loves. You know, Jesus just loves. He does love. He does love us. But he does also expect us to follow what he said. Amen. In fact, I think he coined it this way. If you love me, do what I say. Right. Well, that sounds rude. How dare he? Is he judging me? Yeah, he already judged you. And he already knows what's in you. Right. And he knows the only hope for you is you better follow him. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Grace and truth. So what was finished? Everything necessary for our salvation, everything necessary so that we would experience the fullness of God. But ultimately, he knew, if you could just know my Father, if you knew what he was like, it would so transform your life. Those of us that have received salvation through the Holy Spirit, I mean, what has happened to us is we truly have become children who are on the path to become sons. You know, as a child of God, God's provided everything for us, hasn't he? I mean, he really has. I mean, look at the great world he's placed us in. I mean, food and air and all the good things. I mean, the natural things that God's provided. He's done that because he loves us. But he's also provided us eternal life, hallelujah, through Christ. And it's, we've received it in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. We've received gifts, good gifts from the Lord, so that we can fulfill what God has called us to be and to do. The completion of Jesus' course was, of course, the beginning of a brand new race. You know, I know there's a lot of folks that talk about, you know, Jew, Gentile. There's different groups. There's a Korean church. There's a Hispanic church. Actually, of course, we know that that doesn't exist, does it? There's just one church. Because there's only one new man in the earth, the Bible says. Made up of Jew and Gentile, male, female, slave, free. But all are one in Christ. There's only one new man in the earth. There's either the old man, that's those that are outside of Christ, or those that are in Christ. That's the new man. Only two people, the Bible, Paul talked about in the earth. As such, God's intention is for us as the one new man in the earth to really begin to emulate Jesus in the earth, in this world. Because we know that when he died, according to scripture, we died. Are you aware of that, brothers and sisters? That when he died, you died. Your sin was nailed to that cross. That's why we don't even consider sin anymore, other than when it does crop up, and it does. We all miss the mark. We all miss the mark at times. Except for, of course, Pastor Eddie. But the rest of us, we still make mistakes. We say the wrong thing. We have bad thoughts. All of that. We all suffer from that. We ain't perfect yet. Getting better by the grace of God. But all of us, in reality, when he died, we died. Our sin was nailed to that cross. That's why we are now a new creation. The old is past, all is new. Well, it doesn't feel new. I'm not always acting new. I still have some of the same issues that I had before. Yeah, that's true, and that's irrelevant from God's view. Remember, we're looking at things from God's view, not just your view. We look at a natural view of things. None of us are great shakes. But when we look at each other from God's view, we are filled with light. We are filled with God's love. We are filled with God's purpose because when he died, we died. But not just that, but when he was buried, symbolized in our baptism, we were buried with him. We're no longer whatever it was that we were. We're no longer whatever anyone else says that we were. We are who God says that we are. We are a new creation. We are holy. We are beloved. We've been chosen. We are filled with God's grace and goodness. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that. It's what Jesus came to do. He didn't fail in his work. He said it very clearly. It's finished. I've done what's necessary. Step into it. Step into it. Begin to believe it. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he was raised, you were raised. Think about that. That's why we can say the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Yes. Where's resurrection power? It's not just in the story that we read in the scripture. The resurrection power is in us. It's here. We walk around in it. Of course, where are we seated now? Oh yeah, New Generation Church in beautiful El Centro, California. Hallelujah. Center of the universe, right? This is it. What? Yes, almost as hot as you know where. Yes, yeah. Hallelujah. But where are we seated? It says in the heavenly places. Heavenly places. We're in heavenly places in Christ. We're far above principalities, powers, workers of darkness. Where are they? Where are they? It says they're under our feet. Satan is a defeated foe. That's why we don't think much about him. Don't need to. We just go about doing good, just like Jesus did. When we heal, when we see healing happen, when we preach the grace of God, when someone turns their life toward God, it demonstrates that the devil is defeated and that what Jesus did, it was a finished work. Thank you for your testimony, brother. You're not an ex-drug addict. You're a child of God, right? Amen. You're a son of God. You're coming into your maturity more and more day by the grace of God. God's purposes are being fulfilled in your life. Nothing that ever happened to you, even the rotten choices that you made in life, were not wasted. God redeems it all. He redeems it. Because there's folks that can relate to you will never relate to this honky. You know that's true. You know that's true. I mean, you got some serious tats back there, brother. I mean, tell me the story. I would love to hear the story. It's probably one of the longest stories you ever heard. And it may not be always that, you know, coherent, the story, but it may not always be the most edifying story, but it's your story. And your story doesn't end with, I got tatted up and I had this problem. That no, no. What happened? Oh, you had an encounter. You met somebody. You met Jesus. You met the one that finished the work. And when you met Jesus and you experienced that finished work, you came into life. And that life is wonderful. Where are we seated today? We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. The work was finished. You know, during Easter time, I mean, you know, I know it's Palm Sunday, and you didn't have a palm tree up here for me, so I didn't have an illustration for that, but I can wave there. They waved palms, and they said, "Here he is, the King is here, hallelujah, the King is here." Then, of course, a couple days later, crucify him. I mean, they were a little mixed up in their thinking there. We don't know if it was the same group that said crucify him than as the ones that cried out, "Here he is, Hosanna." But this was the beginning of what we call the Passion Week. But the Passion Week had been planned before the foundation of the world. Jesus knew what he was going to suffer. And he was willing to do that for you and for me. And for the people in this world. Even those that deny him, he did it for them as well. He finished the work. And from that finished work, it's not something we earn. We know we can't earn our salvation. We cannot earn his pleasure because we already are his pleasure. We don't earn his love for us. He already loves us. And he's demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and he finished the work. He bled for our sins. His triumph and his tragedy are linked together. And our tragic lives become a part of his triumph because the kingdom of God begins to be manifested in us as soon as we receive him as Savior and Lord. And so really in this time and season, I just want to recommend to all of you that obviously you think about all that Christ has done. He's done all this for us, yes, and for all of mankind. But we live our life not from an anticipation that someday maybe it's all going to work out. No, it's already worked out. It's already a finished work. When Jesus made the declaration, "It is finished," he said, "For you and for me, now would you do me this favor and rest in that?" Rest in that finished work. When you get up in the morning, you start from the place of rest. Not frantic, "Oh, what am I going to do today to please God or not to get in trouble or whatever?" No. It's a finished work. Christ has already finished it. I'm resting in the finished work of Christ. Everything's been taken care of for me. From that place I work. From that place I serve. From that place I'm responsible. From that place I'm the best mom I can be, the best father I can be, the best worker, the best minister. Oh yeah, from that place I want to do everything I can to let people know all that God has done for me. I want to let everybody know that Jesus has transformed my life. But not so they'll like me, not so they'll receive me. Oh, no. But because the work has been finished. Christ did it. He did it. And we are forever in the triumph of God. Remember, the triumph of God is the party, the celebration of the victory that God has done. And so this week, let's think about that. The fact that the work has been finished and the work of all that has been accomplished by Christ through his finished work continues to this day through his sons and daughters, which we are. Lord, thanks for this morning, and I thank you for your blessings on us. Let me see, it's 10:30. That's about right. I'm supposed to be done, right? You said you want me done at 10:30. You told me if I wasn't done right at 10:30, you were going to throw me off the platform. Now that is not very nice, but then nobody ever accused you of that. Hallelujah. What are we going to do? No. What do you want to do? You want to play something? What just as I am, or I'll fly away, or background. Oh, to do for what? Oh, I just prayed. You want me to keep going? Oh, you're gonna pray. Oh well, sorry. Hey, thanks for letting me be here. Brother Eddie, you're a good man. I don't care what anyone says. And I really do appreciate. Honored to be here. Honored to be in the presence of God.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.